Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to verse 13, I'm going to read from the New International Version of the Bible. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, if we were in church with me, I would have told you, tell your neighbor. But since your neighbor is not sitting beside you, but there's no distance in the realm of the spirit, so you're going to go to the comment section. And every time I say to your neighbor, you will type it in the comment section, okay? Because your neighbor is watching with you live this morning. So say to your neighbor, take a stand. Yeah, for all the folks who are with me this morning, say, take a stand. Yeah, I have some very few warriors with me here this morning. Say, take a stand. All right. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, there's just one thing for you to do. You may be able to stand your ground. Hallelujah. And after you have done everything to stand. Amen. And after you have done everything to do what? To stand. Hallelujah. And that's what this message is all about. So say to your neighbor for me this morning, stand. Come on, say it loud. Say stand. Come on, type it 5 times in the comment section. Say stand. Okay, come on now. Wherever you are, say stand. Hallelujah. If I see everybody, all right, let me put it this way. If I had my way, I could see everybody. I would have loved to touch everybody. Okay. I'm talking about Hill City members and every friend of the house. And this is what I would like to say to you. I love you. Because that's how I feel about you this morning. I love you. But since I can't see you and I can't touch you, let me just deliver to you the message God said I should deliver to you. Now say to that person beside you, stand. Come on, say to your kids, stand. Say to your husband, stand. Send it as a message right now on telegrams, on WhatsApp, or to your friends. Tell them, stand. Tell them, stand. And as you're sending the message, share the link with them. Tell them PSHX is up right now. There's a powerful word that's about to go forth at Hill City, and it would bless you immensely. So share the link with them, and let's be a blessing to people all over the world this morning. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive insight, we receive understanding as we share your word this morning. We don't want to be informed alone. We don't want just to be challenged. We want to be transformed. We want to be quickened, spirit, soul, and body. We want a shift in our thinking in the name of Jesus. And we thank you because your word will not leave us the same. We glorify you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. I told you on Wednesday that there's an attack going on. There's an attack going on, okay? Believers are being attacked with discouragement. Believers have been attacked with discouragement. And I told you on Wednesday that discouragement leads to apathy. Discouragement leads to apathy. Apathy is a lack of enthusiasm. Apathy is spiritlessness. Apathy is numbness. It's indifference. Okay? What it means to have apathy is you are still a believer, but you no longer are passionate about God, his promises, and his mission. You are just there. Sometimes when you ask God for something, you're expecting something of God or from God and you have not received it, the tendency is for you to just be there, indifferent. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And the challenge with so many people in this season is their heart is becoming sick, all right? Their heart is becoming sick. They are becoming apathetic to the things of God. And you see, apathy drives a wedge between you and God because God can stand everything but indifference. He says, look, I would rather you are hot or that you are cold. See, but the fact that you are lukewarm, he said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God cannot handle, God cannot tolerate lukewarmness. Hallelujah. But I told you something important. The major message I gave you on Wednesday is this. Don't mistake your test as unfaithfulness on the part of God. Hallelujah. Don't mistake your test as unfaithfulness on the part of God. Now, this is what I'm saying. God is able to deliver. God is able to prevent certain things from happening. Now, you've got to get this. The moment God allows what you don't expect or something you consider negative to happen, you need to realize God allows it because he wants to test. He wants to humble. He wants to teach so that he may promote. Are you getting this? When God allows challenges in our lives, it is because God wants to test. Now, when God tests, he does not test to know, because God knows all things. God tests us to reveal to us the state of our heart. See, many of us thought we were faithful until difficult times came. Many of us thought we were committed to God until challenges came. Many of us thought we were joyful until we got broke. Many of us thought we were patient until somebody began to press your number or press your buttons, okay? So God would allow challenges, situations like that in your life. We talked about all of that on Wednesday. We have a lot of cover. I don't want to recap all of that this morning. See, but God would allow it. James tells you to count it all joy when you fall into diverse kinds of troubles. In other words, he says it's an opportunity for joy when you get into trouble. Why? He says it's an opportunity for your endurance to grow. Faith is not your problem. It is character that you need. He said, it's time for your endurance to grow. It's time for you to develop character. God says, I don't build you by blessing you. I build you because I've blessed you. And then after you are built, your blessing will manifest. Hallelujah. So God would allow challenges, difficulties in our lives to shift us in our thinking, to reveal to us our current state, to humble us, because humility is required for a lifting from God. Hallelujah. And I told you all of that on Wednesday. So we got to this conclusion on Wednesday that now that you know what's going on, what are you supposed to do? Stand. Now that you know the reason why the devil is breaking out in your life, now the reason you know the reason why you're having challenges, now the reason why the devil is on your case, all you need to do is what? You need to stand. This is my message. In God's kingdom, we fight by standing. Are you getting this? We fight by standing. Let me quickly remind you very key points I gave you on Wednesday. So Paul the Apostle said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So I told you, put your faith in God and his mighty power. Those are two things that the devil cannot touch. But when your confidence is in what the devil can touch, when the devil touches it, it affects you, it breaks you. Are you getting this? See, that you have a car is not proof that God has blessed you or that God is good. That you got the job is not the proof that God is good, because the day you lose the job, then God is no longer good. So put your faith in God and his mighty power. Are you getting this? And those are two things the devil cannot touch. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Don't leave anyone out. And that's what we're going to start talking about today. Okay? Put on the full armor of God. Some people want to pick and choose. You cannot pick and choose. You need the full armor of God to take a stand. And I'm showing you how to take a stand. You need the full armor of God to take a stand. And we rounded up with this on Wednesday. That people are not the problem. For the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle, but not against flesh and blood. So people are not the problem. So of a necessity, you've got to be at peace with all men. Let me say it to you this way. You may want to write this down. Conflicts are symptoms of deeper issues. Conflicts are symptoms of deeper issues. You see, the person you are conflicting with is not the problem. The person who's on your case is not the problem. Conflicts are symptoms of deeper issues. So if I were you, you will ignore the person and focus on the issue. When your boss says to you, you are always coming late, I'm not sure you have a place in this organization, you know, we are going to fire you very soon. See, forget about how those words felt. Or how they feel, because it may not be over. And then deal with the issue. This conflict is a symptom of deep issues. People are not the problem. Are you getting this? People are what? People are not the problem. The people you are fighting with are spirits. Now watch this. They don't get tired. They don't die. So your strategy has to be commensurate. Spirits don't get tired. Spirits don't die. So you see, spiritual warfare essentially is not an event or an occurrence. It's a lifestyle. Are you getting this? Because spirits don't get tired. So it's not like, oh, I will fast 21 days and then I will pray on the mountain. So what happens when you come down from the mountain? I've heard people say things like, you've got to wake up at the middle of the night to pray, because middle of the night is where there is spiritual. See, spirits don't know time. They are spirits. You are the one that sleep. Are you getting this? It's amazing. Somebody dies middle of the night. They said it was demons. Okay, because they are operating at night. Okay, so how about the accident that happens in the afternoon? It's still demons too, right? Because they operate at day. So they don't sleep. They don't get tired. They are spirits. If you understand yourself very well, you will realize also that you also are a spirit. You don't sleep. You don't get tired. Because you are not your body. So if there's anything you should begin to do at this time, is to pay more attention to your soul and your spirit. Because you see, you are not your body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Many of us, we pay too much attention to our body and too little attention to what is really going on to the real us, the spirit. Hallelujah. So let's move on this morning. We need to take a stand. How do you take a stand? Now watch this. To take a stand or to stand is to take a position on a matter and to back up your position with consistent confession and corresponding action. Now pay attention right now. Pay attention right now. Okay. To stand is to take a position on a matter and to back up your position with consistent confession and corresponding action. Hallelujah. Can I say that to you again? To stand is to take a position on a matter and to back up your position with consistent confession and corresponding action. So the big question I ask is this. Concerning that matter, what do you truly believe? What is your position? Are you getting this? Listen, the Bible says, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand. So the day of evil is going to come. The question is, are you going to stand? Are you getting this? Are you going to stand? To stand when the day of evil comes, you've got to take a stand before the evil comes. To say, you know what? On this matter, this is my position. So in every area of your life, you've got to start asking yourself, on this issue, what do I truly believe? As a single person, or you're trusting God for a beautiful future, you want a fantastic marriage. Look, concerning premarital sex, concerning extramarital sex, what is your position? Hallelujah. Doctrinal stability is a sign of maturity. Are you getting this? Concerning divorce, what's your position? Most of the people who survive, or better still, who are married for a long time, when you ask them, they will tell you that before we got married, it was settled in our minds that this is forever. If you are not looking for an exit sign, you will not see it. Are you getting this? Once you know there is always a way out, there is always a way forward, you will keep looking for the way out and the way forward. But when you give yourself an opportunity to quit, Hebrews 11 tells us that if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. So what's your position? When it comes to God is my source, what's your position? When it comes to your health, what's your position? I can fall ill anytime, anyhow. Or he was wounded for my transgression, he was bruised for my iniquity, the punishment that was laid, that brought me peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, I was healed. What's your position? Hallelujah. What's your position? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. New Living Translation this morning. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. It says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Not it will bring you. Not it used to bring you. We need to unpack it this morning. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. The King James says, confidence. Okay, confidence. The Greek word used there for the word confidence, it means all out spokenness. It means frankness. It also means bluntness. It means publicity. Don't cast away your publicity, your confession, your confident expression of your position. The Bible says it brings reward. So you need to understand this. It's not enough to believe. Your expression of what you believe attracts rewards. Now you are not going to say it until you take a position. What is your position? You know what I found out? Sometimes when you take a stand and you express yourself, I said you've got to back up your stand with what? Consistent confession and what? Corresponding action. A lot of times it creates an atmosphere around you that attracts the kind of opportunities you are looking for. Are you getting this? When a woman says, you know what? I'm keeping myself. I'm looking for a honorable man. I'm going to conduct my affairs to glorify God. When she takes a stand, anytime you're in a social conversation, you speak according to your stand. You express your stand. Listen to this. It creates a reputation. A lot of the times, the people that know you will think of you based on your stand. What is your stand? What you have to say, even in casual conversation. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you have to say. I cannot be anywhere and somebody says, oh, Nigeria is going to hell in a handbasket. No, I'm not going to be there. I just don't believe it. There's no nation that is great that was not here. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? Let me give an example. Saul said to David, he said, you cannot fight Goliath. He's been a warrior since his youth. A lot of times, what people are saying to discourage you ought to encourage you if you are thinking straight. Look at that. You cannot fight him because he has been a warrior since his youth. What does that mean? It's possible for a youth to also become a warrior. So me, I will fight him. And 20, 30 years later, they will say of me that I've been a warrior since my youth. It's about your position. Everybody saw Goliath and said, hey, this guy is too big to fight. David saw him and said, hey, this guy is too big to miss. It's about your position. See, but your position, you express it, you say it. A servant in the court of Saul said, I have seen a son of Jesse. He's valiant, he's prudent, he's fantastic in playing the harp. He knows how to run business. How did they know that the Lord is with him? The way he will speak, the way he carried himself. He took a stand. Hallelujah. So concerning your future, take a stand. Concerning your marriage, take a stand. Concerning your health, take a stand. Concerning your finances, take a stand. Hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor one more time. You know your neighbor is in the comment section. So tell the person, take a stand. Take a stand. Come on, take a stand. Hallelujah. Take a stand. Now, Paul the Apostle is here to help us this morning to take a stand. And I say, Apostle, how do we take a stand? He said, put on the full armor of God, not some of them. Put on the full armor of God, not some of them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 to 17. Let me read it to you this morning from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Stand your ground. How? Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, I'm going to unpack this for us in the next few weeks, one after the other. And believe you me, this is not like the one you heard in Sunday school, okay? I'm going to be very, very practical. It's not just about people. When people think of spiritual warfare, they think about fighting demons in the place of prayer. Now, that does not make sense. I cannot be talking to my father and be fighting with another person at the same time. Now, I'm not saying in the place of prayer you don't exercise authority, okay? But you see, that concept of doing battle, okay, that image is faulty. First, you need to understand that everything that belongs to you is with God. And the devil does not have access to it. So the question is, what's the fight about? You need to get this. You are not fighting the devil to get anything. The devil is the one looking for your trouble because the devil does not want you to enjoy everything God ordained for you to enjoy. So you fight to defend yourself. When you look at this body armor, you would notice that majority of them are defensive weapons. You don't have the time to be fighting the devil. You need to focus on advancing the kingdom, on fulfilling your mission. See, but there's this area boy called the devil that will not want you to fulfill your mission. Are you getting this? Now, sometimes giving your attention to him and say, I'm fighting him, is all he needs. Because now he has distracted you. So you've got to be mindful of your mission. You've got to be advancing in your purpose, knowing fully well the day of evil is likely to come. And when the devil is trying to distract me and he's trying to disturb me, I defend myself by my lifestyle. Not waste my time in fellowship with God, paying attention to the devil. Did you get that? Majority of our warfare is not done in the place of prayer. It is done in the course of our everyday life. The course of our everyday life. And that's what we're going to see in this message. So he said, put on the full armor of God. But God will focus on one right now. We have a few minutes left and then we'll continue from there. Okay, next week, Sunday. All right. So this is the first one. Stand with truth. Okay. What Paul Apostle is really saying is, you want to take a stand? Stand with truth. Stand with truth. What does that mean? Your decisions, your actions, and even your casual conversations must be premised on the truth. Don't even say what you don't believe, jokingly. Let me read it to you again. Your decisions, your actions, and even your casual conversations must be premised on the truth. Do you get it? Sometimes, you know, we are joking. And somebody just says, foolish boy. No. Don't call me foolish boy. You understand what I'm talking about? The fact that we are playing does not mean you should say things to me No. And I'm not talking about, oh, if I talk like that, I will sin against God. I'm saying, no, talking like that is below who I am. We don't talk like that. See, because there's nobody I know that is like that. Are you getting this? Based on the truth, this thing we are saying, is it the truth? Hallelujah. Is this the truth? Don't say the way you feel. Say the truth. Don't act the way you feel. Act the truth. Sometimes you feel symptoms in your body, but that's not the truth. Are you getting this? So you don't act according to the way you feel. You act according to the truth. There was a season of my life, a space of almost 2 months, that boils were just breaking out of my body. I don't know, for whatever reason. That's the truth. I had to go get a test. Somebody, I read online, and that's why sometimes, see, Google is your friend, but be careful. See, because in the information there belongs to everybody, and sometimes they are part of it that is not yours. So I was checking out online, and they said that breakout of boils, just unnecessarily, may be a sign of diabetes. And so I went to check. It was after I did the check, they said there's nothing wrong with you. That was when I snapped. Ah, that I feel like this does not mean. But listen to me, there were days, there were Sunday mornings where I stood on this pulpit, I preached with boils in my armpits, boils in my buttocks. I was feeling the pain, but I was not acting the pain. Are you getting this? I was feeling the pain, but I was not acting the pain. Paul the apostle says we do what? He says we do not pay attention to the things we see. He says because the things we see are subject to change. They are temporary. See, the things we can't see, they exist, but they will last forever. And they are, in fact, what we are going through, he calls it a light affliction. He says it's but for a moment. As a matter of fact, it is even working for us an eternal weight of glory. This is what I'm saying. It's called trouble by people, but for you, it's not trouble. It's working in your favor. You can't cry about it even though it is painful, because it's working something good for you. Many people, when their breakthrough comes, they cry. Get this. Their cry is not a cry of joy. It's a cry of regret for how long they wasted blaming God, questioning his faithfulness. Because it will happen. At the right time, it will happen. What's going to come to you is going to come to you. But God wants to build you while you wait. God wants to humble you while you wait. So what do? You take a stand. Are you getting this? You take a stand. How do you take the stand? You stand with truth. When you know the truth, it helps you to stand. So somebody says, Pastor, how do I know the truth? Okay, in the details I'm talking about, in the practical, you know, aspects of my life, I've invested money and I've lost money. One voice is telling me that investment is not my thing. What's the truth? You've told me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Pastor, the only thing I've not done is die physically. I've done everything for my wife. She's not changing. She is not helping matters. She's running me crazy. What is the truth? Because a lot of times, it's not the word of God we argue with. It's the facts of our lives that don't line up with the word of God. So what's the truth? Listen to this. There are two sources of truth. And this is what I'm saying. If whatever you have in your mind or whatever you're considering does not come from these two sources, it's not the truth, regardless of who it is coming from. Two sources of truth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm going to show you that in Scripture right now. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are you getting this? Okay, in the beginning was the Word. It's the Greek word logos, which essentially is the thoughts of God. It's from there you get the word logic, logos. In the beginning was the logos, okay? The logos was with God. The logos was God. God and his thoughts are one. When God wants to touch you, he gives you his thoughts. Everything he created with his thoughts. God's thoughts are things. Are you following me closely? So when God says, I will bless you, you need to understand when he released that word, everything that word connoted came into existence. It may not manifest yet, but it's already in existence because God's thoughts are things. So verse 14 says, the word, the logos, became flesh, because the logos has the ability to reproduce. Are you getting this? So the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father. How do we know this is Logos? It is full of grace and truth. Are you getting this? The word of God is God. God's thoughts, okay, are expressions of God himself. And God's thoughts can become anything he wants it to become. And in verse 14, he's showing us, we have a classic example in the word becoming flesh. I'm not sure you got that. That something existing in the mind of God can become something in your life that everybody can touch. Oh, you will get that next week. You will get that next week. Listen, there's something in the mind of God that he releases to you by revelation, he releases to you by prophecy, can become something tangible that everybody can see. From today, when you see John chapter 1 verse 14, you need to understand he's talking about you. The word became flesh and made a dwelling amongst us. And we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Full of grace and truth. John chapter 18 and verse 31 to 32. So the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now he's showing us how to lay hold of the truth. The word of God is truth, but I have to continue in my meditation and in my receiving of his teaching. In other words, the truth is not on the surface. Oh, are you getting this? Okay, are you getting this? For example, Nigeria is a land flowing with milk and honey, right? Nigeria practically has most of all the mineral deposits in the world. Are you getting this? But we don't look like it. Because what we have is yet to be processed. The one that is processed is not properly managed. And it's the same way a person can be a believer, have access to God, yet you are not processing the word to the point where you are extracting truth and standing with truth. If you continue in my teaching, so it shows it to us. You've got to continue in the teaching. You've got to pay attention to the teaching. The same thing God told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but therein shall you meditate day and night, that you may be careful to observe, to do what is written in it. You won't observe if you don't meditate day and night. Jesus said, if you don't continue in my teaching, you will not know the truth. Are we getting this right now? So you see, the truth of that matter, the truth concerning that situation, is my child a failure? Okay? Is my husband going to, is my husband going to abandon me? Okay? Is my wife going to abandon me? Is my future bright? See, the truth is not according to any trajectory, any trends, anything a professional can tell you. If you continue in his teaching, you will discover the truth. And you'll be able to take a stand. Are you getting this? You'll be able to take a stand. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Jesus there speaking, says, sanctify them by thy truth, or by the truth. Your word is truth. So when there's an argument going on in your mind, when there's a conversation going on, if it is not the word of God, it's not the truth. Hallelujah. It is not the truth. Now let's move on to the Holy Spirit right now. John chapter 14 and verse 16 to 17. So we've started from the word and we came into the truth. You know where truth comes from. You know how to get truth. Now look at what the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 16 to 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. That means you had one before. And Jesus was talking about himself. So he says, I will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But watch this. But you know him, for he lives with you, because Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, okay, and power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he was able to tell them, he has been with you, because Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Everything Jesus did, he did by the Holy Spirit. So he told them, the Holy Spirit has been with you. But look at the next line. It says, for he lives with you and will be in you. Oh, look up everybody, look up everybody, look up everybody. Come on, drop that coffee mug and look at me this morning. The Holy Spirit has been with you. He will now be in you, and he is the Spirit of truth. So the next time you're looking for truth, where is truth? In you. Hallelujah. Listen to me, child of God. With your Bible, behind closed doors, in consultation with the Holy Spirit, there is no situation you cannot unravel. Are you listening to me? Your Bible, in seclusion with the Holy Spirit, there is no challenge you cannot surmount. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth. John chapter 15 and verse 26. I preach long when I come to church. John 15, 26, it says, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. Did you notice Jesus did not call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of any other thing but the Spirit of truth? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. How do you take a stand? You take a stand with truth. And Paul the Apostle calls it your belt. Now, for the Roman soldier, that belt holds every other thing together. And that's the reason I'm taking my time. From next week, Sunday, I'm going to be taking like four in a service. But we need to understand truth is the foundation. The Roman soldier's belt holds his trousers, holds the weapons, holds everything together. That's the starting point, the belt of truth. You've got to stand with truth. Hallelujah. When the believer does not know the truth, it is because the believer is late. Because you've got the word of God, you have the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You shouldn't leave your house to solve any problem. Oh boy, oh boy. Ideally, see, if now, Pastor, are you saying I should? Pastor Shago, but once in a while I come to you, were you led of the Spirit? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you to go and ask a man because he has put that word in the person's mouth so that you can understand it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to teach you something and he will send you to somebody who has an experience. Because you see, theories don't convince you like stories. But if he does not send you to the person, you will go to people and you will receive no help. Are you guys, see, this way, you know when the Holy Spirit does not lead you to people. They lack the motivation to help you. Because he's the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you are seeking in the life of people what is not his will and good pleasure, they will lack the motivation to respond to you. Oh, did you catch that? Come on now. The Spirit of truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13 to 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Can you see this? It will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Let me round up this morning this way. When I say stand with truth, this is what I'm saying. Apply the word to the facts and do the word, not your feelings. Do you understand? Pastor Shagun, you don't understand. My wife has not cooked. In spite of all of this lockdown and pandemic, my wife has not cooked for the last 1 month. Apply the word to the facts. Amen? Let me speak to Couples Connect. You know that conversation about Moi Moi? If you're not in Couples Connect group, you don't know what this is about. There's a conversation about Moi Moi that was going on for like almost a day now. And you know, this morning, just crossed my mind that what if the Moi Moi is not Moi Moi? Mr. B, amen? I was just wondering, what if the moimoi is not moimoi? That question about your husband woke the wife up middle of the night and said, I want to eat moimoi. It just crossed my mind. What if the moimoi is not moimoi? What if moimoi is something else? And since COVID till now, there has been no moimoi in the house. The man of God wants to take a stand. So before he takes a stand, he asks other men, if you are in my situation, what will you do? Hallelujah. Amen. And let me say this to you in practical terms. For many of us, this is where we live. Okay? Your life does not look like the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Your life does not look like Lazarus and Jesus came to the tomb. Lazarus come forth and Lazarus came forth. There's, you see, our life happens in slow motion. You understand? Not as quick. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, he called the chair up. And Jesus said, you know what I mean? And it just happened for him. Or with the woman with the issue of blood. If I come, okay, if I touch the hem of his garment and I will be made whole. And she came in the press and she touched the hem of his garment and straight away. We don't live like that. The mistake we make is we forget that before she touched the hem of his garment, she lived for 12 years, spent all she had, and instead of getting better, grew worse. That's where many of us live. And that's why you need to take a stand. You understand what I'm talking about? Your marriage does not look like the one they did. Let me say it this way. Your marriage does not look like the marriages in church. Did you catch that? You know church marriages. Every marriage is good in church. As long as we are in church. In fact, some people, they enjoy themselves the most in church. Husband and wife. Once they get to church, husband will behave. Wife will behave. You will crack a joke with the husband, the wife will smile. The wife, the moment they get into the car park, they go back to default settings. So when they keep yearning for those church marriages, Because you look at every other person and you say, I want what they have. I want their life. Listen, if you are ever going to get their life, you have got to take a stand with the truth. You've got to look your wife in the face and say, God says this is forever. God says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. See, yeah, no money for the last 1 month, but you're a good thing. Take a stand. Amen? You're a good thing. Now, listen to this. If you can't apply it to yourself, it's difficult to apply it to somebody else. So you say to yourself, I'm a good man. I'm just like Jesus. I'm a husband man. I know how to sacrifice. I am self-sacrificing. 6 months, no money, no shaking. That's what it means to take a stand. Hallelujah. The conversation will continue on WhatsApp. Amen. But that's how to take a stand. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God we serve is able to deliver us and he will. But if he does not, no, O king, we do not bow to your idol. We take a stand. We take a stand concerning God. We take a stand concerning ourselves and we wait for manifestation. But how do we take that stand? We stand with truth. Where do we find truth? The word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I told you, apply the word to the facts and then do the word. In this scenario, don't respond based, no, Pastor, you don't understand. Why you provoke me? No. Pastor, look, if he did what she did to me, no, I'm not sure. So no. I know what the Bible says, but I couldn't take it. I'm a human being. In fact, people will say things like, let's leave the Bible aside and let's be realistic. And I'm like, can you be more realistic than the God who created reality? So apply the word of God to the facts and do what? And do the word. And finally, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, especially in areas where scripture is not clear, understood, or silent. Amen. There are areas of our life where you are spiritually, you have not read your Bible to that point, so you don't know what the Bible says. And there are areas of our lives where the scripture is not clear. Let me give an example. For example, your husband likes to drink wine. He doesn't go to the joints, he doesn't go to beer parlors. He drinks at home and does not get drunk. But you are a spiritual, I'm a very, very real example now. But you are a spiritual wife and you don't believe that your husband should be drinking wine. You have said it severally and he has not listened. Now he's even now drinking it in the presence of your children. Which verse of scripture do you want to quote? Apart from beating him with religion. Amen. Tell me, which verse? He will tell you what the Bible says, we should not be drunk. Paul told Timothy to use a little wine. So I'm using Paul's prescription. Are you getting this? I'm speaking to both the man and the woman now. In that scenario, what do you do? Follow the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you the truth. In that situation, the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will tell you what to do. Don't go and say, I went for one women prayer meeting. One woman said, after 21 days of fasting, her husband stopped drinking. After 21 days of fasting for you, your husband will discover another brand. Because in those kind of matters, the Holy Spirit has a prescription for you. How many people threw their nets to the right and caught plenty of fish? You know, that's what we do a lot of times. You go to the boat, say, Father, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. Did he say it to you? Were you there? He was speaking to Peter. Now watch this. But the Holy Spirit can lead you to that portion of scripture and use that word that Jesus said to Peter and use it to speak to you, and you will go to your business and take a risk. Because for you, it is rhema. He used it to speak to you. You are not just following because, are you getting this? So in areas where scripture is not clear, in area where scripture is silent, or you don't understand scripture, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Four things. And when I say four things, I'm not talking about four things I will say in 20 minutes. I'm talking about four things I will say in less than 2 minutes. Okay, how can I be sure this is the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to give it this to you. I'm not teaching it. I'm giving it to you. I'm talking to that person who is still young in his or her faith and has not heard this kind of teaching before. Let me just give it to you free of charge, fast. How can I be sure? Oh, this is the Holy Spirit that is leading me. Number one is the inward witness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Read it from the Amplified Bible after the message is over. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your heart, deciding with a note of finality any question that may arise. The peace of God. When the Holy Spirit is leading you concerning something, you would sense the peace of God in your heart concerning it. When you sense turmoil, when there is chaos in your heart concerning any issue, back off. Number two is what? He speaks in scriptures. Let me say it in another way. The Holy Spirit speaks with scriptures. When you want to start recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit, He speaks to us using the word of God. Hallelujah. Number three, He whispers. He whispers. He whispers. Okay, He is gentle and He is never pushy. So anytime you are sensing anything and it's compulsive, it's not the Holy Spirit. When you hear things like, you have to do it, you have to do it now. You have to do it, you have to do it now. That's not the Holy Spirit. He does not push. It's the devil that pushes. The only time people feel pushed is when they're about to sin. You just feel like, if I don't do it now, if I don't do it now, that's the devil. The Holy Spirit is never pushy. And then He whispers, He will not shout. So if you are not given to solitude, if you are not given to quietness, you are likely to miss His voice. Okay? And finally, He never changes His mind over time. He doesn't change His mind. You know what that means? So over a long period of time, He will be saying the same thing. So it's okay to take your time to be clear on what He's saying to you. Are you getting this? The fruit of the Spirit is patience. So the Holy Spirit is never in a hurry. You know, you want to change the direction of your life. You want to do something that is massive. Don't rush. So when you hear Him on Monday, don't rush. And He won't be offended if you come back on Wednesday to say, I want to be certain. If you come back 2 years later to say, I want to be certain, He will still be saying the same thing. So for you as a human to be convinced, give yourself time. You've heard it severally. You will get to a point where faith rises in your heart because you have heard it over and over again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't let anybody scare you. Oh, the Holy Spirit wants you to do ministry. He wants you to serve in full-time ministry. If you don't quit your job and go and do full-time ministry now, something may go wrong. No. Let me say this to you. You can't save the world. So there's no assignment God has given you that if you don't do in 2020, that's the end. So it's better for you to take your time to ascertain what He will have you do than for you to rush and make a mistake. He's a gentle spirit. He's never pushing. He whispers. Hallelujah. I'm sure you've been blessed this morning. We'll wrap it up here and we'll continue, all right, next week, Sunday. Let us pray this morning. Father, we thank You for the word that has come our way, the word received this morning. And Father, beyond hearing this word, we receive capacity to live out the word we've heard this morning. Father, Lord, we stand with truth this morning in the name of Jesus. For everybody who's been a part of this experience, I declare, in this season, you take a stand. In the name of Jesus. You don't fall for the apathy the devil is distributing. You take your stand, and when the dust settles, you are still standing to the glory and the praise of God and to your benefit in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, and we worship You. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.